can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don, we're on air.
Don't tune in.
Don't talk down the tune. We are synonymous with that.
No, it's not. There's better music
Stop
than
talking
that.
Talking over the introduction.
Well, Stan,
shut up. We're going to play it longer now. People love the music. You got no idea.
You're a fucking control freak.
You've got no idea how to do anything. Don't talk over the introduction, particularly when we've got a guest in the house. Now, we have spoken to a number of different people from all different realms and facets and sections of life in the community, haven't we, Don? And to show you how diverse we are, we spoke to Dally Messenger. We spoke to a man who runs and his mistress who run a dating place called Best Friends
Wine
Bar. Is
it Isabel de Toro?
Best Friends Wine Bar. And then we spoke before that to Dally Messenger, who celebrated the 50th year of marriage celebrants. Celebrants.
You said before he was 50 years of celibacy.
Oh, fuck. And so this is by way of introducing our next guest. And, well, let me tell you about our next guest. He's an 8-time world kickboxing champion. 8-time world kickboxing champion in 4 different classes. Do you know what the classes are, Don?
Probably lightweight, heavyweight, cruiserweight. What else is there?
Heavyweight. Super heavyweight, heavyweight, cruiserweight, and light heavyweight. So you knew that.
I'll give you. Well, he's a big man,
and he's done it in 4 different styles. I know you've done things in 4 different styles, Don. Missionary, dog, all that sort of stuff. But He's thinking, what have I come into here? I know this is the style that he has perfected. He's perfected the kickboxing style. I don't know what other more styles there are than dog and missionary. Kickboxing, Muay Thai, Bushido Kai, and karate. That's not what I've got written. I've got
injury
written down
doing
here.
Some of that stuff.
I've got written down here. He's performed and competed under international rules, full contact, oriental and Muay Thai. He's had 88 wins in his professional career for 9 losses, but what a record that is. And I'm going to just do this one more time. He has made films. He's been in films, Don. Did you know that? I think this is right. He's been in Angel Town, he played himself. The Ring of Fire, he played Terry Wu's opponent, whoever Terry Wu is, he'll tell us who that is. He was in Blood Fist 3, Blood Fist 111. It's got 111 beside it. I presume that's...
It's a very successful film, eh?
Forced 2-8 and Trojan Warrior. He played Ajax in Trojan Warrior. He played Leadbottom in Blood Fist 3. And he is the great Stan the Man Longanides. Welcome, Stan. How about that for a dysfunctional introduction?
What an introduction that was.
Well, was any of it right?
Some of it, yeah.
It was all right.
A lot of it was right, yeah.
And it was all right. Hey, it's fantastic to have you in. Now, the thing that fascinated me just when I was... we try and read up a bit about the people we speak about. And then we make the rest of it up, depending on your answers. It said that you were inspired to be what you are because you witnessed a nightclub brawl and watched... Is this apocryphal?
No, it's true.
A nightclub brawl by some martial arts people, took a couple of brawlers to task in a nightclub, and you thought, wow, that's for me.
Yeah, definitely that's what happened. I mean, back many, many years ago...
Where?
In the western suburbs where I grew up. I'm a western suburbs boy. Grew up in North Altona, but back in the day when there was a nightclub in Footscray called Bunnies,
Bunnies?
Bunnies nightclub. Yep, yep. Before that, it was called Il Fontino's, but then it became Bunnies. Then it was a nightclub. I was only young, obviously, but I did see something before my eyes that made me feel like, I thought that was like a movie scene. I thought, this guy's incredible. So after what I seen, there might have been four or five guys bullying one guy. He didn't want no trouble. He didn't want to get involved. But all of a sudden, I seen him just cut loose, and it looked like a scene of a movie. And I was just waiting for maybe a director to come out and scream and say, cut. But it wasn't the case. After what I seen, I said, I need to meet this guy. And I ended up meeting him. Yeah, so I met him. His name was George Constance. And he ended up becoming my first instructor in karate, which was called Budokai.
So the first question I'd like to ask is, at 13, why were you out doing the nightclubs?
13? I didn't say 13.
Well, you said you were a young boy.
I was young. I might have been about 16 and a half, 17.
Well, that's still very young.
Still very young.
Well, where'd you get 13 from?
Well, I thought you said young boy, so I thought 13's
not
young.
Not young, no. But
you'd have to start training to do what you did at a young age, wouldn't you?
To be honest with you, during that time in my life, I was focused, and my first love was football, the international one.
What, soccer?
Soccer.
So I was a young kid growing up. I was playing for a team called Juventus, pretty popular at the time in Brunswick.
But that's, hang on, you're Greek and that's Italian. That's, you should have been at South Melbourne Hellas.
Well done. Good call, because that's very true. And I was quite good and successful as a young player. So a lot of the Greeks and the Greek community got a bit upset, the fact that I was scoring goals for an Italian team against Greek teams. But that was part of the fun of it at the time anyway.
Did you follow the soccer back in those days?
I did, yeah.
There used to be brawls like Okoa and J.U.S.T.
Back in the old days, Footscray, Just.
Wilhelmina were all right.
Preston Macedonians, they were
George
crazy.
George Cross.
Yeah, the old days it was like
that. It was on.
But footy was like that too.
The
old days of football. The old days of football.
Off your head.
Look how football's changed today compared to how it was in those days. And, of course, to bring up, I'm a big football fan and I'm a Collingwood supporter all these years.
That's typical.
Very close.
So Stan, I'm just getting back to, you were a patron at the nightclub.
Yeah.
And you were just a muscled lad? Were you toned, or you thought, I didn't want anyone throwing sand in the skinny kid's face?
Yeah, nothing like that.
I'm going to ramp myself up here in case this happens to me ever one day.
Well, that's, of course, it'd be nice to be able to know you can handle yourself in a situation. I mean, I'm not a violent person. I grew up...
You're not a violent person.
Well, I'm not. I mean, regardless of my occupation for so many years, but that's a fact. I don't recall ever having a street fight. Probably wouldn't be much to remember. It wouldn't take that long to end.
Hey, listen, so when did you actually start training? Because you would have started young fighting, I should imagine.
Sure.
So how long did it take you to learn and then start fighting?
Okay, I started kickboxing after that scenario that you mentioned about meeting my first instructor, George. Yeah, so we started training. He ended up training me and I became Australian heavyweight.
Yeah, but what age were you when you started?
17.
And when did you have your first fight?
17 and a half, 18, not long
after. So you picked it up in a couple of months?
I picked it up quick and I started having some fights.
You must have been a natural.
Well, in many ways.
So what's your strength, do you think, in the sport?
My strength? Probably my mind, more than anything. I developed the power of mindset.
So you could withstand pain?
Well, that's part of it. That's part of, what I've learnt in my craft and the wisdom and knowledge over the many years.
But you must have been there. I've watched, because I'm a fan of boxing and blokes can be as tough in the mind and cop pain.
Sure.
But you've got to have other things going. You've got to have either fists or reaction, or you must have a strong punch, or what have you got?
To be 8-time world champion,
exactly.
I'd reckon. Yep,
just
Don.
Not mental tough.
Okay, but again, it's again about equipping yourself, training hard and getting out of your comfort zone, sacrificing a lot of things. Sometimes, in some cases, some guys are naturally talented, but for me, I don't even rely on that. I don't teach that. Even today, with my experience, I'm more about character than talent.
Yeah, but
talent can help get you there.
Yeah,
but character will keep you there.
Exactly right. But what's your talent? What is your strength?
I had a bit of everything. That
which is what?
Was natural.
Come on, give me
a little bit
that.
Of everything that if I worked on, I could nurture.
What, speed?
I was known to be very quick because I'm a very small heavyweight for starters.
That's what I was going to get on to.
I'm 5'10", 5'11" on a good day.
Yeah.
So Stan. You sound like you're the FBI, you're the CIA.
No, well, I'm interested because it's a fascination.
Well, let him answer it. He answered it twice, and you asked him the same question again.
Stan, you're 5'10". You took the words out of my mouth, as Meatloaf did in that song. You're 5'10". What weight did you fight at?
Yeah, heavyweight.
Yeah, come on. Give me the weight.
92, between 92 and 95, I was a small heavyweight. But my theory was, small, I make them miss, I make them pay. I was quick. Very explosive for a heavyweight. I was known to be exceptionally very good with my boxing skills for a kickboxer. So a lot of times I was inclined and advised to go down the boxing route, but I decided that I wanted to become the king of my sport, which was kickboxing. So I had a passion for the sport. I loved the sport, and I wanted my sport to develop a profile. And to do so, I knew we needed a product.
So you would, if you're in a fight, you would come in with a kick first. You would follow up. Your thing would be leading with a kick, and then you'd follow up.
Yeah, but he gauges what's his opponent before he actually has a blueprint of what's good. Football, Don. Yeah.
There's no specific way. Yes. I mean, anything can happen. You're ready for anything.
But your reach wouldn't be. You'd be fighting taller men, so you'd have a not as long a reach. So you'd have to use something to get in close,
bridge the gap,
wouldn't you?
Sure, we'd bridge the gap. But like I said, make them miss, make them pay.
Do you want to ask him again how he was successful?
Did you go up and
down? Shut up, Don, please.
Did you go up and down in your weights?
A little bit, but mainly heavyweight.
And did you find that stressful on the body?
No, that's why I'm saying I was a small heavyweight. Again, I never had to worry about making weight for any other weight class or anything like that. But again, there was a price I had to pay. I was fighting bigger guys, stronger guys, heavier guys. And they always say, you know, if you had two great champions, one is small, one is big, but they're both exactly good and talented, always the big guy wins.
Now, Stan,
is the theory. But again, it depends on every individual.
Stan, what you've done is inadvertently you've brought in some confectionery or whatever this is here, and Don's had an overload of sugar. I can't shut him up. You're just asking. You're speaking shit at the minute, Don.
What, in your view?
In my view. We'll get on to what he's brought in at the minute. You're not speaking shit, Don, but you're just browbeating him.
Well, I'm fascinated.
I know.
Interested in the
I'm
sport.
Glad you're
I've got more questions.
Oh, of course. Stan,
this fighting that we see in the cage and all that. The kickboxing, Thai kick, was that the forerunner? To me, it was the forerunner. What is it called, MMA?
MMA, yeah.
Was it the forerunner?
MMA is the latest extension of the martial arts family. The latest extension. Back in the day, kickboxing was the new extension, the new family member, which was a new sport. That's why I'm saying my passion was to be the catalyst. You know, hopefully to be a catalyst. I had a passion. I wanted to create a path. I wanted to give a profile to our sport. Like I said, create a path for others to follow. And, I could look back now and say, you know, I achieved that. I had a dream. I had a dream that I dared to believe that I could achieve.
Don, please, may I? Let me get a question in with Don.
He doesn't like being in control.
I don't ask him, but go ahead then.
Now, Thai kickboxing. I've got a great fascination with Asian, I think, very, very smart people.
We've been brought up with the Queen of Asians, have you?
Queen of the Marquess of Queensbury rules as far as boxing, you know, Caucasian. Mm-hmm. But the kick is very devastating, isn't it?
Yeah.
In kickboxing or in fighting.
Sure.
Our experience is football. I got hit in the thigh.
I
got kicked in the thigh once. It blew up immediately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated by the fact that when you guys kick, you can put a bloke down on his ass. It's not the impact, but it seems to be the result.
The placing.
Yes. Do you have to hit in a particular part of the thigh underneath or to the side?
With my career, you know, if you do your research, I developed a reputation as known to be one of the hardest kickers, in particular low kicks. Something I probably got from playing soccer anyway. I'm just saying because I had really strong...
What do you mean low in the calf or thigh?
The thighs, just above the knee. Just above the knee on the outside is the most sensitive part. So if I was to kick you and use...
Please, would you?
If I was to use any part of my instep, Stan. Of my foot, the instep of my foot and the lower part and the shin. Now, that shin, my shins over the years have been tortured and really...
Brutalised.
Yeah, brutalised. Well, I feel no pain. The nerves are dead.
Yeah, I've got the same thing from
okay,
football.
So that's over many years of
yeah,
constantly...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So when we kick, it's more damaging. I'd rather get kicked in the head than get kicked
okay, so
in the
what,
leg.
So the thing is, does the body, does the thigh bleed straight away?
Internal hemorrhage, yeah, bruising, but it can, it's like an electric shock going up your spine.
Oh, right.
It's another kind of pain that's hard to explain and hard for
so
you
to... So why does the bloke sit on his ass or you knock him out with a kick to the thigh? That's what I...
Because it cripples him. It's like crippling you. It's the worst. Look, again, if you get knocked out, unconscious, you don't feel nothing. You're out. But what I'm saying is it's worse when you feel pain that is so devastating and it's like an electric shock going up your spine. The nervous system, from a leg kick and the nervous system comes up your spine, it's just the worst experience.
Okay, so my next question is how long does it take to recover? Oh. Now, it's like a corky in our game.
Sure.
Which takes a lot of, you know,
it takes
rubbing and a massage.
It's not uncommon to be in a fight where you get injured and you can't walk for 2 months.
2 months?
Sometimes, yeah, depends.
So do you...
I fought a fight, I won in Japan, but I couldn't leave Japan for a week because my legs were so
bleeding.
Bruised, they wouldn't let me get on a plane. Feeding. My thighs got so inflamed, you know, swollen with bruising and the doctors didn't want me to get on a plane, so it took me a week to get back. I'm just saying this.
So what do you do, ice up or do you go to the road?
Mainly
the
icing up.
What?
Is the first 24, 48 hours is mainly icing up.
So then you what, get massage?
Oh, there's other things, you know. What do you call them? Inflammation tablets that help.
Yeah, Indocid and Andy and all of that stuff.
Yeah, all that routine
stuff.
But
you've got to get your, otherwise it'll calcify.
Well, that's what happens. Look at my legs. If you look at my legs today, my legs, these bruises come and go. Just from the past, like these legs, they're not injured.
Shit! Look at that. What's that,
Sam?
Are they bruising?
Just bruising coming back from 30 years ago.
Really,
Stan? When I get the opportunity, we don't want to interrupt Don. He's on some sort of roll that the sugar
you'll only be
has gone
Wikipedia.
Into his blood, and he's just gone mad. Go on, keep going. Is that it?
Now, with regard to your kicking,
not it.
Flexibility, you must do a lot of flexibility in stretching to be able to get your leg up as high as the opponent's head.
Yeah, you're right. But again, that was one of the benefits I had as a natural. I was the sort of guy that once I walked into a karate dojo, I was naturally gifted where I could do the
what
splits.
What a karate what?
I knew you were going to say
I
that.
I could do
as
the splits.
As soon as you said dojo, I knew Don. I could see it.
Well,
the
listeners
dojo?
Out there would go, what's a dojo?
Dojo
well,
is
probably was going to explain it.
Dojo is the floor where our mat. Where we come in, we bow, we go into the floor. That's our room, our space, the dojo. So, you know.
So what?
What's your question?
Oh, why ask you that question?
No,
you've got off.
No, you've bamboozled him. You've asked him that many rimfire staccato questions. He can't keep up with it.
You're
settle
kicking
down. Shut
to
up.
Get as high as the opponent's head. In your case, you're only 5'10". You're fighting 6'3" guys.
More, yeah.
You'd have to be exceptionally flexible to get that high.
He said
I am flexible. I was naturally a guy that was flexible. Naturally, I was very fortunate. Some guys got to work hard with stretching to get there. But sometimes, in some cases, some guys have natural gifts.
Don, may I? May I? So, Stan, I'm still going back to the fact that you said you're not a violent person.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll take that on face value.
Okay.
Mate, you must, a white mist must come over you when you get in a ring. You must hate the person and you must, honestly, just go almost feral in your attempt to beat them. Because it's a very physical thing that you do, mate. You can't be passive. You've got to hate, haven't you?
Okay. Let me explain something.
Yes, thank you.
The most powerful tool our creator gave man is his mind.
Yes.
The most powerful tool is your mind. And it's about the power of mindset and how I transform myself when I walk into that ring. Now, let me give you a little bit of a short summary to summarize who I am as a person, as a character. For what it's worth, I'm 58 years old. Okay, we haven't talked about this part of me and my character and who I am. What is my identity? I'm a man at 58 years of age, but I've been born and raised throughout my life and my journey as a man of faith. I'm a man of faith, what I believe. And life is about personal growth and development. From the moment you are born until you die, we are learning wisdom and knowledge.
Are we talking power. Religious faith? Are we talking about...
A belief system. Are we talking about
the Saviour or Christ? What are we talking
about? Okay, if I specify, that's me.
Yes.
Yes. Good. Yes, that's me.
Yep.
Unashamedly.
Yes, no, good.
Okay, and that's who I am. Now, one would say, as a man of faith that loves Jesus, how do you go in the ring and beat up people?
Yes.
Because that's not the character, the philanthropist that loves Christ that goes into fight. I transform my mind, and my attitude is when I go in that ring, better he dies for his country than me die for mine. Otherwise, I cannot be successful in my sport.
Yep.
Again, transformation of the mind, which we do in everything. Part of life is, again, that. Part of life is about your personal development and growth. So you feel
like you have a spiritual backing every time you go in, you think there's someone riding with you.
Always. But there's been outcomes where I got knocked out.
No, that's right.
And even then, with my relationship, with my faith, yep. I'm able to discern. And even when I was, the first time I got knocked out by a guy that was a 25-1 underdog. Chuck Norris was commentating the fight, and he was talking about the fight. And this is Chuck Norris with Don Wilson. Well, Stan the Man Longinidi's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Stan told me he's looking for the quick knockout because he's scheduled to fight in 2.5 weeks in Milan, Italy. So Stan's looking for that quick knockout, and I hit him with a left hook. Looked like he was going to go down. He threw a wild punch and caught me on the temple. 56 seconds in the first round. Wow. I fought in Connecticut, in America. 8,500 people. I reckon there was 8,000 Greeks that come to see me. And when I got knocked out, you could hear a pin drop. It was so quiet. I was graceful in defeat, tried to say the right things I could possibly say, but I couldn't wait to get back into the change room to confront my God.
Yes,
fair enough. Said, Father God, how could you let this happen to me?
Who was the man that knocked you out?
A guy named Duke Rufus, a 25-1 underdog. Yep.
Your fights don't go very long, do they?
Well, hopefully not, yes.
Yeah, but no, they don't go 12, 15, 12
they rounds. They are scheduled for 12 rounds.
What, three-minute rounds?
Yeah, 12
rounds. And will they go the distance?
Some cases.
You didn't do any research, Don.
Well, I'm asking. I reckon it's better to ask instead of research.
No, they went 12 rounds if you did some research.
Yeah, it's okay.
What about injuries and after effects?
Yes, good
have
question.
Are you suffering mentally or physically?
I was very fortunate. I like to think in my career I've had over 100 fights. Like you said, 88 wins, 8 losses, 9 losses, 65 knockouts. Look, I've had what people describe as an illustrious career, but as a price you pay for it. And me in the last few years, I've been pretty much going through a challenge with my health about 5 years ago.
Mentally? Mental acuity?
Very fortunate with my mind.
Yeah.
And again, I'll take it structurally. I'll say, about 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 3 bowel cancer. So I'm very, very, very lucky to be around. I put things in perspective, and I think there's something we should mention on your program about getting checked with your bowels. Guys that are 40 years old and plus, every year, get a checkup and look into it. I was very fortunate, very, very fortunate to get through my challenge with bowel cancer. But then I got hit with some other things. I got a heart condition. I got respiratory problems.
Is that from sport?
Of it's got to do, my doctors told me because I tortured my body. It's not uncommon for athletes
to
suffer. Like 2/3 of my heart muscles are not pumping like they should because of the stress I've endured over the years.
Yep.
Body, there's, you know, arthritis is kicking in. There's days I can't get out of bed because my feet feel so numb. There's a lot of things, breaks and injuries and all sorts of stuff. But now also because of my heart condition, I'm on very strict medication. It's really sort of pulled me back a lot. I'm on strict medication where they tell me if I miss one tablet, you know, I'm susceptible for a stroke or a heart attack. That's how strict things are right now for me with my health. So, look, over the years, I mean, 22 years in a sport of kickboxing, I'm very fortunate. I'm grateful as a man of faith. I don't take for granted how lucky I am. It's potentially a very dangerous sport. I come out of it okay.
Mentally, how are you? You would have taken a lot of knocks.
Again, after 22 years of a career, I had a 20-year career as a motivational mentoring sort of with mentoring programs and a lot of different things. So, and then I opened up the Stand the Man Fitness Academy with my younger brother. My younger brother, George, is 10 years younger than me. He was also a world champion. Nothing like his older brother because he was saturated with injuries. My brother is an example of a guy that's got resilience. My brother had reconstructions on both shoulders, both knees, but still looked at me and said, listen, I'll never be like you, but I know I can win a title. And that's an example. If you look up resilience in the dictionary, I like to think you see a picture of my brother there because when you want something bad enough, you find a way to get there.
But you haven't answered my question about mentally. How are you mentally?
Okay, mentally I'm fine.
CTE.
I'm in a good place. And as a 58-year-old, I'll tell you this. As a man of faith, my prayer today, if you ask me, what's your prayer today with God? My prayer is, Father, protect my mind and my heart.
Don, when I
that is the battlefield, Don. The greatest battlefield in life is, the greatest battlefield in life is in our mind.
So when I asked him how is his mental acuity, you've asked him the same question twice since he answered that.
I didn't
that.
Know what acuity meant.
Well, it means how's your mental state? And he's answering three questions the That's same right. because you keep asking him the same question that I've asked him. Pay attention, man. Now, so, it's probably the purest form of physical exertion, what you did in the years that you did it, whether you agree with the sport or not. Did you get nervous when you fought people who were trying to knock your block off? Did you get excited? Did you get? Did you just want to do it, or did you have butterflies?
Yeah, mate? Look, that's all those things you mentioned is experience. Wisdom and knowledge is power. The more you know, the stronger you become. And that's why with our academy, we share and teach all those things that you're talking about. Of course. Hey, I fought a guy one time. Let me tell you a story. I fought a guy one time. You may recall this because it was the highest profile fight in Melbourne at the time. I fought a guy named Dennis the Terminator Alexio.
Alexio, I got that here. Yeah. I was going to ask you about
him. But he went off in the first couple of minutes.
Seconds.
Seconds,
but it was the biggest fight of history, in our history. Now, I trained for 20 years to build a reputation of being a great boxer in my sport. Kicks that broke people's legs. I built a reputation with doing that. Now, I finally got, and I was promoting a fight, I was hyping up a fight. Every time I knocked people out in America, I challenged Dennis Alexio. I made it the most public demanded fight in the history of our sport. But he asked for so much money that even Las Vegas would not pay him. They said, it's absurd. You fight, everybody asks for this kind of money, but to fight Stan, you're asking for this. You don't want to fight Stan. So I posed the question to my audience for many years, how did I lure Dennis the Terminator Alexio to Melbourne? How? Sacrifice. If you want something bad enough, you'll find a way to make it happen. Now, if I truly believe I can beat him, honestly, if I truly believe I can beat him, why not do it for free? Hey, I'm just saying, if I said to you, listen,
Stan,
hey, Mike Tyson is undefeated. Listen, you can beat Mike Tyson.
Just a point of procedure, Stan. We love your enthusiasm. You're going to blow the speakers out here. Now, just to back a little from the microphone. No, you're fantastic. You're getting me revved up, as I was saying. But we just don't want this to distort too much. I'm going to ask you about Dennis.
It wouldn't be surprising for all this equipment to be intimidated with someone like me in the room.
No, we're intimidated. I'm intimidated by Don. I don't know what he's going
to
ask you
get
next.
Get back to that fight. go on. It's at Melbourne. Yeah, go on.
Okay, so how did I lure him here? Sacrifice.
Yep.
I fought a guy, his record was 55 wins, one controversial loss, and 50 knockouts. Hey, Everyone, when he walked in the ring, everyone that was there for me, their expressions on their face, you could see, they felt sorry for me. They were scared for me. Even my own family would clap and say, you can do this. You can do this. But everyone was petrified because he looked like a beast. He looked like a guy that was ready to kill somebody. And I looked like a small kid, passive, you know, one ready to, for you to feel sorry for. But once they introduced our names, something came over me.
The white mist came over.
Well, and he looked at me, and when he looked at me, he knew this kid is here to fight. I was not going to look for a place to land like everyone else he fought. I trained so hard that night, Don. I trained so hard for that fight. I spent 7 weeks in a training camp up in the mountains of Olinda. I spent $40,000 out of my own money to prepare for that fight. I had semi-trailers bring in equipment, rings. I had sparring partners that I'd pay $50 a round, but they had to make sure they worked me over. Hey, $50 a round I paid them, but by the time I finished with them, they needed $500 for their medical bills. That's how much I prepared for myself to get ready for that fight. I trained through fear. I was afraid.
Fear of losing.
Said about being nervous.
Yes.
I trained through fear to make sure I was ready for that fight. And I left no rock,
stone unturned.
Well, hang on. So we get to the fight.
Okay, we get to the fight.
And it only goes a few seconds.
6 seconds. We start.
Was it a lucky kick?
Well, I wish I never threw that kick. I'll tell you why. I wish I never threw that kick because it was inevitable. At some point in the fight, that's how the fight was going to end. That was the area that I dominate. He's a tenacious...
Did he do his knee or did you... Is it the fact that he did his knee?
He checked. We clashed shin on shin. When he went to put his foot down, his tibia and fibula snapped.
He claimed he stepped in a hole in the canvas.
Because after 10 days in hospital while they're putting pins in his leg, the Americans are thinking, what are we going to come up with when we go back home? How are we going to justify ourselves? And they came up with there was a crack in the ring and it was all bullshit. Anyway.
Yeah, again, but you could see, you hit him hard with the leg. I thought his leg, his knee moved. There was
no, he didn't correctly block it because when he went to block it, his leg went back and wedged on the other leg. So there was no give when I kicked his leg.
Similar to what's his name, McGregor?
McGregor?
What's his name?
The Irishman.
Yeah, what's his name? Conor. When he got kicked.
And the other guy too.
His foot went from under him and dislocated.
Yeah, there's been a few ugly sort of outcomes like that with leg kicks.
Did that finish his career?
Look, he recovered, but he never fought any of the big names or have a rematch with me again. He had about 15 fights, but he fought in Hawaii against nobodies, no one. He lost credibility of the man that he was.
Well, I mean, he's got this injury, like your broken leg. I mean, it could go again in your sport, couldn't it? All he needs is a kick on it.
Again, he talked so much crap. Why didn't he have a rematch with me?
Now, Stan.
Didn't happen.
Did you come across corruption in the promotion area? Was the fights rigged? Not from your point of view. Was there a lot of skullduggery in the industry that you're in?
Yeah, look. Again, kickboxing was new at the time, but once big money gets involved, there's always attractions to that. It's not uncommon to hear stories like that in boxing and, bad decisions.
Were you ever approached to...
I was approached. I was
here or in America?
Here. I was told I had to lose a fight one time.
And I presume you said...
I presume...
which is the name of our show, You Cannot Be Serious.
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Did you say that?
Exactly that. You can't be serious and that's not going to happen.
So any repercussions?
No, because again, it's an industry where there is a lot of, undesirable people and... It's not uncommon for things like that to happen, but I was very fortunate because I had a good team of people around me.
Stan, of course not the names, who approached you? Was it betting syndicates? Was it the opposition managers?
Street people.
No,
street people.
Street people, betting on the
outcome.
Obviously people of influence in the communities with muscle.
Well, yeah, but they were betting on it.
But they might have a bet. They'll say, listen, you're going to lose this fight, so make sure you do.
Yeah, and you weren't intimidated.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's right. So what about, do all the competitors get drug tested?
Yeah. The sport evolves. I mean, again, like I said, in the early days, it was a bit, dodgy with certain things. you know.
You were allowed to take drugs of
not
any?
Not necessarily, but people denied that.
Those heavyweights in America were on steroids back in the 80s, weren't they? They were huge men.
There's a lot of things that can be claimed, but again, like I said, even Dennis Alexio, if you watched when he came in the ring, everyone swore that he was on something. Like he was going 100 miles an hour. Like 100 miles an hour. And he's saying, come on, let's get it on, let's get it on. He wanted to get it on. If you looked at me in my corner, I looked like I was stoned. I looked like I was just relaxed because I knew I didn't want the occasion to zap me. I knew there was a time when I got to cut loose, but right now I kept it all under par, keep it in, reserve it because the crowd, the atmosphere, I knew it could zap me. The occasion can be big.
Did you take anything to calm you down, Stan?
No, nothing.
Never took anything illicit?
Faith. Again, my faith.
Yes, good.
I'm a man of faith. Just before they opened the doors for me to walk out of my change room, I got attacked. My demons. I got attacked in my own spiritual warfare with what I believe. You know, and I got this spiritual demon that tried to tell me that I was not capable. I was not capable for this battle.
Now,
you know, it was like a last second thing before I go out.
Now, what about your support, your family? Is there a Mrs. Longanides or is there a Mr. Longanides in this day and age, Stan? We got to cover all bases.
I can't blame you for that question either. No.
So you've just...
Look, I never married. I have no kids. I've never... Right. Again, I never married, but... That's the price I pay. It has its pros and its cons. You know, for years as a public speaker, I'd say at the end of the day, I'd come home and say, honey, I'm home, and there's no answer.
So as a motivational speaker, I see that's one of your on your CV. Do you promote positive thinking and spiritual guidance, or what do you promote in your promotional speaking?
Okay. Let me summarise that. I can summarise that because this is what we've implemented with the Stanman Fitness Academy. We are now almost 10 years open with my brother. I've played a slower part now. I pulled back because of my health issues. But what we've set up there, our mantra, what is our academy about, is not necessarily just to create champion fighters. We've been there, we've done that. We want to create champion people. It's all about champion people and champion attitude, what it takes to become a champ. We teach them certain things. I've got five-year-old kids. I'm talking about five-year-old kids in our kids' class. If you see the transformation in them, like I'll give you an example. Give us an example, Sam, what you're saying. I'll get a guy like little Johnny. Johnny, get up. He's 5 years old. Yes, sensei. He gets up in posture like a soldier. Yes, sensei. I said, Johnny, if you fail to prepare to fail, sensei. I said, Johnny, what's the most powerful weapon you have? My mind, sensei. I am what I believe I am. I'm teaching kids that the greatest gift you have is your mind, the greatest tool you have. The most important real estate you will ever own is your mind. Now, I know all these things. You've heard them. We know all this stuff, but we don't action it. A lot of people know a lot, but they do nothing. So what we're trying to do and implement in our place, our mantra is, hey, when you come here, Johnny, give me two reasons why you come here, Johnny. Give me a reason why you come here, Johnny. I come here to suffer, sensei. Come here to suffer. Even using that word, the vocabulary. See, parents get it.
So what are the parents?
Parents are in shock. Did my son just say that? Yeah, because we're not sugarcoating. Hey, you want to get somewhere, you got to suffer.
Yeah, but how
you
does
can't
that,
get strong without building a CV.
But how does that go down in today's society, in the wokeness of today's society?
Well, hello, our world, we live in a world that's gone crazy. Yeah, yes. We could touch on that too. I've got a very high opinion about that too. Everything's gone crazy.
And Stan, your excitement and your passion is
blowing the machine.
It's almost blowing the machine, but it's wow. Very... No, it's fantastic to hear someone so passionate. No, we would need less watts. but it's fantastic to hear someone so passionate and genuine about what they're on about. So that's the motivational, is giving people values in life and a target and mentally, all that. I understand that. So... you've bought in some food. Is that, you're not part of all that? That's just a gift for us, or
That's my sister-in-law and her sister. They're amazing with what they do with their grills and their barbecues and their desserts. So because they knew I was coming here,
there we go. All right, that's it. So the Grill Sisters. You were the first martial arts inductee into the Sports Australia Hall of Fame. Yeah, that must have been a great feather in your cap. Must have been
renewed,
a great...
Renewed my moment of greatness, Sam, to be quite honest with you.
Who presented you with that in 2013?
2013.
Who presented you with that?
Swimmer's name, I forget.
Dawn, it's passed
Dawn
away.
The grey hair and all the guy who was
Murray Rose.
Think, yes. That's right, I think, Don.
Well, why don't you remember his name? It was a big occasion.
Yeah, it was a big occasion.
Was it Murray Rose or not?
I'm trying to remember his name.
I think so. I think
John Conrad.
Conrad!
Well done, Don.
Last year or two.
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, I'm terribly sorry about that.
That's all right. So, and who was inducted on the same night with you?
Or was it just quite a few.
Oh, a few, was it? Yeah.
Put me in a position like
that. No, that's all right, mate.
But what was fantastic about that...
And you got up and spoke?
Yeah, look, what was fantastic about that was I had my parents there. My parents were going through a stage of illness. My mum, as I was there, my mum on three different occasions had to be rushed to the toilets because she was vomiting. My mum was going through chemo during my time when I got inducted, and that was a challenging thing, but it was very special to have my parents there because I gave an example to the audience of my parents' perspective. I said my parents used to sit by the phone waiting with anxiety in the middle of the night depending on the time when I was flying overseas. Yep. And I'm not playing golf or soccer. I'm playing in a gladiators arena with my parents, you know, with anxiety. So to have my parents there, it was really, really something special.
You born here or in Greece?
Yeah, I was born here.
And is Melbourne still the second biggest? Is Melbourne still the second biggest Greek
community? Yeah,
in the world, yeah. Behind Athens.
Yeah, yeah,
really.
Yeah, but again, I was always proud of being from Melbourne, no matter where I travelled, where I fought, all over the world. I mentioned this
one. So speaking all over the world, you were revered in Japan, it says. They treated you like not sure if they have gods in Japan, but they treated you like some sort of...
Yeah, they do that with most of their athletes. I was very fortunate to experience that as well. But again, it's all about humility, trying to be a good person, trying to give a positive vibe. That's the most important thing for me.
And did you have any gimmicks, like when you did the weigh-in, did you stare people in the face or did you abuse them or did you just stand there passively?
Look, a lot of that is part of the game, psychology, you know, mental toughness, that's all important. Power of mindset's all very important. But at the end of the day, I tried to bring something that made me a people's champion. You know, I had a mascot in Japan, a koala mascot, you know.
Yep, good
we
on
made
you.
Little koalas. I mean, there was a lot of things. But it's hard to do well in business with the Japs because if you bring out a product and they'll take 95% of everything, you know what I mean? But
well, again... Now, this is... rarely do we get someone so enthusiastic and passionate about their sport. It has been a fantastic chat to Stan the Man Longanides. If you've got any other questions... Probably that I've asked already, but you weren't listening to them. So if you want to ask any other questions of Stan the Man Longanides before we stop.
Stan, what fascinates me is what your sister-in-law is doing.
You're just making these up now, aren't you?
I'm not, because I'm into barbecuing myself. Now, are you into the cooking?
I wish you would barbecue yourself.
So if I ask you a question on this...
I think the smart thing to do is maybe some stage in the future when you guys can fit in some time, you can have the Grill Sisters here, you can ask them questions.
Because I do cook on the barbecue.
Did you hear what he said then?
I understand, and I am fascinated with this book that you've brought in.
You couldn't cook a bloody... You were hopeless. You couldn't...
The barbecue, I think, is the easiest thing to do.
Is it you couldn't cook up a
but to see
jug
a book on barbecuing?
Yeah, so that was your final question on.
He doesn't know anything about it. He's brought it in and he knows nothing. So the interview's gone flat.
I'll give you a tip for your final question.
What? He didn't come in to speak
How
about
do you summarize life, Stan? Give me your summary about life.
What do you want me to ask you that question?
Yeah, because
Stan,
I want to answer something,
Stan. How do you summarise? You're 58 years of age. You've mm-hmm. been through the mill. You're just about fucked. How do you summarise life up until this stage?
Okay. And this is
good question, Don.
Yeah.
What, the fucked or the
No, the fact the that content. He had to give you the question to ask him.
Okay. On a serious note, it is a serious note. Just to finish off, it looks like it sounds
you
like
know
we're finishing.
I'm
just saying, I don't know, but I don't want to finish off without me sharing this message.
Well, go ahead,
Chris. Okay, so life is a journey full of seasons. Okay, there's seasons. My career was a season. There's a beginning and an end in everything. a beginning and an end in business partnerships, beginning and an end in marriages, a beginning and an end in life. I'm just saying, life is full of seasons. My career was a season, but it comes to an end. And then we start a new season. I was a speaker, whatever it was. There's new seasons. All I'm saying is this, what I want to teach and what I teach my students is don't let life pass you by and you turn 40, 50, 60, 70, like some of you, and you don't have any kind of belief system. You just live a shallow life. You just exist. And one day you're going to die. We're going to bury you. And the worms are going to eat you. That's the fact. That's the fact. All I'm saying is, I believe it's important to have hope in something. Now, I've come to know something, Sam. That's part of my life, part of my belief system. It's worked for me. I call upon it. It's my rock. It comforts me. It's the greatest comforter for me. And I use different examples how I prove that. In various aspects in my life, again, like I told you, with my relationship with him, I'm able to convey or discern a message. Like I said, that fight where I got knocked out. Hey, my Lord said to me, I've given you so many victories. To make you the champion I want you to become, I want to see how you handle a defeat like that. There's a lot of other scenarios in my life that I've experienced and what I've been challenged with. So basically what I'm saying is this. At the end of the day, I believe that one day, because when I lost my mum, hey, we lose people we love. I lost my dad. I lost my mum. When I lost my mum, hey, let me tell you something. I'm a mummy's boy. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Call me what you want, mummy's boy. I'm a sook. Hey, I'm undisputed heavyweight champ of the world.
We wouldn't be calling you a mummy's boy, Stan.
I cried over my mum in a way because I suffered. Hey, and I didn't want to live anymore. Sam, I didn't want to live anymore once I lost my mum. But I had an experience. I had an experience with my faith, where a supernatural comfort, not natural, let me tell you something, Don, 2,000 people went to my mum's funeral. 2,000 people come up to me saying, what a wonderful mum you had. She was amazing. Hey, all that was well and good and nice, and I appreciate it, but it didn't comfort me. It didn't soothe me. Something supernatural happened to me.
In deference to our own health and safety, Stan, we won't be calling you a mummy's boy. Yeah. But one thing that we've noted that isn't transitory in your life, and that's you're guided by spiritual belief.
What religion are you?
I'm a Christian, I believe.
No, what? Catholic? Greek Christian. Orthodox?
Hey, I was born and raised Greek Orthodox, but religion means nothing. People go into church for 50 years.
So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You said you're
religious
or faith.
I'm a man, I believe in Christ. The one that died for me. Hmm. I teach my kids. When I do privates with kids, this is what I teach them. I teach them, who do you thank for your blessings? I thank God, Sensei. Who do I encourage you to make your best friend? Jesus, Sensei. I go, why? Because he died for me. He died so I can live. That's who I believe in.
Well,
now,
Don,
that works for me.
Amen to that, Don. Which means we all agree.
Amen means the finish.
Amen means we agree, and that's the finish. And what a note to finish on. It has been a revelation to speak to Stan the Man Longanides, 8-time world champion in a whole lot of different disciplines. And you have been fantastic today, Don.
Very insincere and very, very,
very
shallow.
You've just thought
shit.
You had no notes. You just thought of every question that came off the top of your head. You asked him the same question 3 or 4 times in a row, which he answered in different ways, and you didn't understand that.
Yeah, well,
but you and I have been fantastic speaking to Stan the Man Longanides, and we really appreciate you coming in. You're a bloody star, Stan. All the best to you.
Thank you so much, guys.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't